I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Do you like the show and want to help support us? Do you want us to stay ad-free? Do you want extra episodes every month? Well, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro and become a Patreon supporter of this very show. Greetings, programs, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
This is the second time we've been here this evening.
As they say in the movie biz, take two.
Take two. So you're going to hear a weird cut at the towards the end of the episode tonight, because let me try to explain what happened.
Oh, this is great.
I did a Mac OS update. There's a new operating system for the Mac. I downloaded it the other night. Thought everything was fine. I get on my computer today. I've got more stuff to download. Did that before the show and told Derek we needed to get on a little early to make sure everything was working properly. So I turned on my Audio Hijack, OBS, Skype, all that stuff. Of course, everything needed to be redone as far as access to the microphones and the camera, all that stuff. Got everything settled. Everything seemed to be working fine. So we record the episode. We're going out to Twitch. And then, of course, about halfway through the episode, Joey Image popped into the Twitch chat and said that there was no audio. So we paused the show to figure out, it took us a couple of minutes to figure out what was going on with OBS. And we finally, I restarted OBS and we were getting this really weird echo, almost like dubstep type weirdness going on. And once I finally restarted OBS, everything clicked into place for some reason. So when I went back at the end of the episode to upload the audio version of the show, everything up until that point was dead silent. It recorded nothing.
It's such a demoralizing feeling. I mean, that's happened with me multiple times with, you know, when I do my interviews for my other show over Skype, there have been instances where I'll go in and I'll open the file and the audio track is there, but there are no audio levels or anything. It sucks.
So heartbreaking.
It really sucks. I've said this numerous times. People won't hear it because they won't get to hear the first half of the original take. This all comes down to Skype.
Yeah. Stupid Skype.
I mean, it almost cost me an interview before we recorded the show the first time because, you know, the guy tried to call me earlier. because we had the interview planned for 6, but he called me like 20 minutes early and I wasn't at my computer at the time. So I get to my computer at about 10 till 6 and I see this little box pop up and it was up for about 3 seconds, said missed call from, and then it had the number. Well, I didn't have time to write it down. So I'm like, okay, I'll just go into my history. Well, there is no history. It does not show you missed calls on Skype, nor does it have a redial button.
No.
Because why would it have that?
Oh,
they get dumber with every update.
And then, of course, I was thinking, oh, well, I'll just go and capture the audio of the beginning of the show from Twitch. So I go on the Twitch page, and then remember, there was no audio going out to Twitch. So that was dead silent, too. So I had, there's no record of the original beginning of this episode.
And it's a shame because, you know, I mean, you solved world hunger.
Yeah.
I discovered the meaning of life and it's, it's all gone.
Had peace in the Middle East.
Right.
Oh man.
It sucks. No, I can imagine. I mean, I can definitely relate to the feeling you probably had when you realized that. Cause it sucks.
Yeah, it was, I got nauseous for a minute. I was just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And that's when I called Derek and I said, we got a problem. We've got no beginning.
As soon
as
you said that, I was like, yeah, the first half of the show didn't get captured.
So heartbreaking. But let's
go. But we're here now.
Let's go over all this again, shall we?
Let's do it. So this first story, it has nothing to do with retro gaming news, but I know it's a big story for Jason and myself and so many people around the world. Marvel Comics icon Stan Lee passed away yesterday. We're recording this Tuesday night. He passed away yesterday afternoon, I want to say. He was rushed to a hospital. It was actually early in the morning. This comes to us from The Hollywood Reporter. Stan Lee, the legendary writer, editor, and publisher of Marvel Comics, whose fantabulous, it's a very good word, but flawed creations made him a real-life superhero to comic book lovers everywhere, has passed away at the age of 95. He began in the business in 1939.
That's crazy.
And created Black Panther, Spider-Man, Thor, the Fantastic Four, Daredevil, among many other characters. You know, and I'll let you go first before I give my thoughts.
Like I said before, originally, that Stan Lee is going to be looked at as sort of, you know, he's going to be looked at as like Shakespeare in 300 or 400 years. Like his work is going to be around forever. I mean, it's modern day mythology and he created almost all of it. Everything, you know, Marvel movies are such a huge pop culture thing at this point. And I mean, not just, you know, the comics and the universes that he's created, the characters that he's created are going to live on long after us. And this really hits me hard because I feel like his death is the end of my childhood, because Marvel Comics were such a huge part of my childhood. I would read Stan's Soapbox and all that kind of stuff in the comics, and Stan Lee finally passing away is sort of like, okay, I have to move into adulthood now. Like, my childhood is officially gone and over.
He lived, I think, one of the greatest lives that you could ever live. You know, he helped found what is now a billion-dollar cinematic empire. It's absolutely insane. And I think deep down we all knew that this was going to come sooner rather than later, because he's 95 years old. But, you know, to live to be that old and have as big of an impact on society as you have, that's an amazing accomplishment. Like, I dare say he's lived one of the greatest lives ever lived.
Oh, yeah. And he will be missed. I mean, he's been the tub thumper, the ambassador for comic books for longer than I've been alive. and always been at the forefront of comics aren't just for kids. They're for everyone. There's something here for everyone. And his stories, his creations, everybody could see themselves in every single one of his creations. He created characters that everyone could see themselves in, whether you were, you know, black, white, or, you know, boy, girl, doesn't matter. There was something for everybody.
Yep, that hits the nail on the head. And I remember he was interviewed by Kevin Smith before the original Spider-Man movie came out with Tobey Maguire. And that was the exact analogy he used about why he thinks that Spider-Man, you know, in addition to Spider-Man having real life issues, which no other hero had at that point in time. Yeah. But just the fact that his suit was full body, his face was covered, so you could be any gender, race, anyone could be under Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So his stories will span lifetimes. Like Stan Lee, even though Stan Lee, the person, is no longer with us, his story and his legacy is going to live long after you and I are gone as well.
Absolutely.
So all I have left to say is Excelsior, Stanley.
Rest in peace, sir. Moving on to our next story. This came a couple of hours ago from GameSpot.com. Nintendo Switch Black Friday bundle announced. Black Friday is quickly approaching. Many retailers and video game publishers alike have already announced some great deals on consoles, games, and other accessories. If you're in the market for Nintendo Switch or plan on purchasing it, Nintendo has announced a new bundle that packs the system with a great title. On Black Friday, November 23rd, you'll be able to get a Nintendo Switch bundled with a digital copy of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe for $300, the same price the console itself typically runs for. So basically, you get Mario Kart 8 for free, which is great. You also, they're coming out with a new set of white Joy-Con wheel accessories, which will run for $15. Comes with two wheels, which feature a slot that house the Joy-Con. And then also, there is a limited edition yellow and red 2DS for $80, which comes pre-installed with Super Mario Maker. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I've never got into Mario Maker. It looked really interesting, and I really wanted to play it, but it's one of those games that I know if I got it, I would spend way too much time. Like, that game would consume my life if I bought it.
Making impossible levels.
Exactly. But no, I think the bundle for the Switch is great. You know, you're basically getting Mario Kart for free. If they did this with other games, like maybe Mario Odyssey or Breath of the Wild, I think would be really smart, because the Switch, I think, is going to do really well this holiday season, not just because of these bundles, but because we also get the new Smash Brothers in December.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably won't hear from me for a few days after that game comes out, because that's what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah,
because no lie, the Smash Brothers game that came out for the Wii U, for 3 days, that's all I did.
Wow.
Was play that game. I would take breaks to eat and go to the restroom, but I was just unlocking everything.
Well, I think
I was obsessed with that game.
I think the Switch is going to do gangbusters this holiday season. I really do.
No, I totally agree. Our last story comes to us from sci-fi.com. Nintendo deals blow to emulated retro gaming with a $12 million lawsuit against ROM sites. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
The days may be severely numbered for U.S.-based websites that offer free online access to pirated old-school and early video games, games that, in many cases, no longer can be found elsewhere. A federal judge in Arizona has sided with Nintendo in the company's $12 million trademark infringement lawsuit against the married couple owners of LoveROMs.com and LoveRetro.co, two sites that, while now defunct, were immensely popular among online-savvy gamers on the hunt for old-school games. I see here Nintendo's three-count complaint alleged the sites engaged in copyright infringement, trademark infringement, and unfair competition, and according to Torrent Freak, the court agreed. The owners reportedly shut down the sites immediately after the complaint was filed this summer and have agreed to pay a court-ordered 12.2 million while admitting the sites violated Nintendo's copyright and trademark rights.
You know, I had such a good rant on this a little while
you
ago.
You did.
But basically what I was saying is a lot of these ROMs, a lot of these old games, that's the only way you're going to be able to play these games. Like, if you're just now coming into the retro gaming market, or you want to have your kids be able to play, and you want to play games like Panic Restaurant or Little Samson, you're going to be shelling out hundreds of dollars for these games. But you can get a ROM and play it. So I don't understand why Nintendo doesn't team up with Sega to make a console that all it does is hook up to the internet and goes to a central hub, like an online library of all the old games from, like, you know, the 80s and 90s, that you could go on there for like a monthly fee or per game purchase and be able to play all the old Nintendo, Sega games and have them all in one easily accessible place. That just seems like the simplest way to be able to have people be able to play these old games.
My response to that would be a GIF of Scrooge McDuck diving into his safe.
Yeah.
With all the coins in it. Because that would make so much money.
It would. I mean,
because, and I use this analogy, you know, the first time we did this, one of the first games that I ever reviewed for the show was a very obscure Nintendo, Super Nintendo RPG called Illusion of Gaia. And it's never been available on any virtual console, whether it was the Wii or the Wii U. So the only way I've ever been able to play it, I mean, eventually I did find a physical copy of it, but, you know, it was to find a ROM because I really wanted to play it. And the game's not that expensive if you can find a cartridge of it, but it's also not the easiest game to find either.
Yeah. So it just seems like a no-brainer for Nintendo and Sega to kind of team up and do something like that. I mean, I can't be the first person that's thought of something like that.
Yeah, it's like I said, it would make so much money. I would buy one in a heartbeat.
I would too. It's just that's money on the table, Nintendo. Come on.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and move into this month in video game history. In November of 1981, Namco releases Bosconian, a multi-directional shooter with a voice.
Yeah, the name sounds really cool. It actually sounds like it sounds like a planet from like Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to take the Enterprise to Bosconia.
Like we were saying earlier, there's a couple of multi-directional shooters in the list here. Like, multi-directional shooters were like the thing back in the early 80s.
And the promotional flyer looks really cool too. Oh, it's got a little bit of that early 80s, late 70s kind of look to it.
Yeah.
I love that art style. In November of 1981, Nintendo's Game & Watch is released in Sweden.
Sweden.
Yeah.
But the Game & Watches are great. I would love to get my hands on a couple of these.
Yeah, same here. You know, between like the mid-90s and the early 2000s, they actually, for the Game Boy and eventually the Game Boy Advance, they would release these little collections of almost remastered Game & Watch games. They were called the Game & Watch Gallery Series. Mm-hmm. And they incorporated a little bit of the Nintendo flair, like adding in some Mario characters to the games and everything. But they were all really fun.
You know, I was talking about this earlier, too. The modern cross D-pad design was developed in 1982 by Yokoi for the Donkey Kong handheld game. And that's pretty much the basis for all modern controllers.
That's a pretty important moment in gaming history.
Yeah, absolutely. And November 1st of 1984, Namco releases, I tried to say this earlier, Grobda, a spinoff from Exevius, something. Well, I don't know how to say it.
More Star Trek sounding stuff.
Yeah, it's another multi-directional shooter game that was released by Namco.
I don't know what they were doing with this art that they had going on in the early 80s, but it was really good.
Cool stuff, man.
The poster, did you ever see or read any of the heavy metal stuff?
Oh, yeah.
This makes me think of one of the heavy metal like shorts from the original movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good.
It's awesome. I'd love to have some posters of some of this stuff.
Oh, for sure. In November 1st, 1986, Sega releases Alex Kidd in Miracle World. It is the first game in the Alex Kidd series created for this character and the most popular of all Alex Kidd games.
They tried to make him the Sega mascot, and it didn't take.
No, it took a certain speedy blue hedgehog and a different style of game to do that. Never played Alex Kidd, but I remember vaguely hearing of him back in the day.
Yeah, I remember the games. I never played it at all.
Same.
In November of 1991, Nintendo releases Metroid 2 Return of Samus for the Game Boy in North America. And when we talked about this earlier, we decided that we're going to do a Metroid month here on the show.
Mm-hmm. Because this is a game that not a lot of people talk about, and I feel like it being on the Game Boy might have hurt it a little bit. And I haven't played this game in a long, long time. So I think what we're going to do is you're going to start with the original Metroid.
Yes.
I'm going to do Metroid 2 for the Game Boy. Then you will review Super Metroid, and I will close it out with Metroid Fusion for the Game Boy Advance, which is kind of on the cusp of retro, but I think because, you know, it's still a 2D platformer and it's early 2000s. And I mean, I've reviewed games from 2000 and 2001, so I think it'll be okay. I actually just realized we have 5 weeks in January.
Wow.
So we might have to add something on that last episode. Yeah, but
we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah. But no, Metroid 2, really fun game. And to close out this month in video game history, on November 21st, 1991, Nintendo releases one of their obscure indie titles, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past for the Super Famicom in Japan.
One of the greatest games ever made.
Yep, this is, for Super Nintendo, definitely, it was the game I put the most hours into, because at least once a year I made it a point to play through the whole thing from start to finish and find all the heart pieces and all the items, all that fun stuff. So a lot of great memories playing Link to the Past.
Hell yeah. Well, this is the part of the show where we got to before everything finally kicked on and it started to record. So I'm going to play the music here for what we're going to be reviewing tonight, and then it will pick up where the original show started. So we will see you on the other side. So we're talking about WrestleMania for the NES, which is, man, I'm all discombobulated now, man, because of that whole Skype thing.
See, it's like I said at the beginning of the show, Skype is the source of everything evil.
Man, if anybody's has watched the show on Twitch, like, we had some weird, like, echo. What's the name of the dude? What's the name of that crappy music that people listen to lately? That's like all like electronic.
Oh, crazy. Dubstep.
Dubstep. We had some dubstep stuff going on the Twitch channel.
Yeah, it was that was a new one for me.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
And we were basically hearing multiple like playthroughs of our voices, and they came more and more distorted the more they would play, and then they just kind of faded away.
It's weird.
It was really creepy.
But let's go ahead and talk about WrestleMania. It was back when it was still known as the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation, and not the WWE. It was a video game created by Rare, which is weird, and published by Acclaim Entertainment in 1989. It was the first WWF licensed NES game and the second WWF game overall, the first being Micro League Wrestling. WrestleMania also marked the beginning of a long relationship between Acclaim and the WWF, which lasted 10 years. Released just months prior to WrestleMania 5, it was intended to help build up to that event. The game's title screen features the tagline for WrestleMania 3, Bigger, Better, Badder. Rare later developed a follow-up game, WWF WrestleMania Challenge. Which is weird that Rare developed this game because of how... I honestly, this isn't even really a game. It's more like a demo. Because I've never played this game in my life. Like, don't get me wrong. I loved WWF wrestling when I was a kid. Like, I was into it, man. Like, wrestling was life. Like, along with the Nintendo. Every weekend I watched the Superstars of Wrestling, the main event on Saturday nights whenever it was on, and whatever else WWF did. I went to every live show that came near me. I actually got to see Hulk Hogan wrestle, who was one of my favorite wrestlers when I was a kid, along with Roddy Piper. And, you know, this is around the time, this was 1989, so this was at the height of, like, you know, the mega powers with Randy Macho Man Savage and Hulk Hogan. So I don't know why I didn't play this, but I really think Joey needs to jump in for this. Joey, would you be willing to jump into Skype and talk about WrestleMania? I know you're in the chat right now. So if you want to jump in, I will give you a quick call on Skype. Just let me know.
Are we in for a surprise appearance?
Maybe.
By Mr. Joey Image?
But the thing is, I went into this game thinking there would be at least some sort of like a story mode or something to, or like a seasonal mode or something like that. There's nothing like that in this game. You go in and... each time you go in, you play one match, and every time you play a match, you have to put in your name. Every single time you play a match, you have to put your name back in. You go in, you pick your wrestler, and then you pick who you're fighting against, and then you go in to the ring and you wrestle, which there's not much wrestling because it's really just a button masher. And there's no real wrestling to speak of. It's more just kind of like they punch and kick until you knock their health meter down. And then for each wrestler, there's like a power-up that'll come bouncing through the ring every once in a while. Like a Million Dollar Man has like a little dollar sign that'll bounce through. And he has to run up there and get it. And it gives him builds his health meter back up, or Hulk Hogan has like a crucifix that jumps through each time. And the first game I played as Macho Man Randy Savage against Hulk Hogan. And I got my ass handed to me by Andre the Giant, which was not fun. So then I played it again as Hulk Hogan against the Million Dollar Man and completely trounced him in there. And Joey said he is ready. So let me jump on Skype here, and we are going to bring in, if I can figure out how to bring in Joey Image into the call.
Because there's no one more perfect to talk about this game than Joey Image.
Come on, Joey Image, where you at? There you are. Do I add him? Come on, Skype, make this easier, please.
That's the theme of this episode, is that Skype is just terrible.
Is that how you add them? Add to group.
That should be it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And I guess I accidentally hung up on Derek.
No.
All right. Are we good?
Ah, yeah. There you are.
Hello.
What? Now I'm echoing. Oh, no. There we go. All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
So confusing.
What is going on with OBS and the new update with Mac?
I don't know. That was freaky.
Oh, I know what my problem is. Hold on. It's not me. It's you. It's not you. It's me. I forgot that I still have this
Freudian slip.
Yeah, I'm hearing you through my headphones and through my speakers because I had the stream itself up. Wow. So now that's muted. All right. So, God, this is so much easier. Okay.
Actually, I got this copy of WrestleMania from you, Joey, when I was
I didn't
up
even
in
know
New
that,
Jersey.
Actually.
Yeah. I've never played this game before.
Wait, were there doubles of it? Is that why?
Yeah, you had a double of
it. All right.
And
I think, I think my fiance Angela has like four of them for some reason.
Yeah, I think there was like three or four in there. I was like, can I have one of these? You're like, yeah.
There's like three Zeldas, like Solomon's Key. She has like two of. I'm like, why do you have all these freaking like doubles? Because she has two sisters and a brother, so they would like have like two or three Nintendos throughout the house in each one's bedroom, and they all bought all the same stuff, and now I've inherited it. So yeah, I think there was four WrestleManias in there. That's pretty funny.
Do you
so maybe
remember?
If you played a different car, maybe if I gave you a different cartridge, it would be better.
Yeah, maybe. But did you ever get to play this game? It only features six wrestlers: Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Macho Man Randy Savage, Million Dollar Man, Bam Bam Bigelow, and Honky Tonk Man. And like I was telling Derek, I was expecting to play this and have maybe some sort of like, you know, like a Mike Tyson's Punch Out sort of like story mode to it or something like that. But it's not. It's just, it's basically a glorified demo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I think it's just all singles matches and there's
that's it.
Like, there's no story to it. It's just,
no.
You do a match, it's over, and then you pick another one and it's over.
And
it's not
the
really.
Next, you go to the next match, you still have to put your name in again, which is aggravating. And
yeah, it wasn't a very good game. I mean, I think this came out, when did this come out? 88, was it?
It was 89, January of 1989.
Okay, so that was, I was not even 12 yet. I was still 11. So I probably thought this game was great.
Oh,
I know I played it a lot and I only remember, I specifically remember, one thing that bothered me was that in the WWF, Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase had no music. But in the game, he had music, and it was somebody else's, and that used to bother me. I still remember it because it was there was a tag team called Strike Force, and they for some reason took their music and put it in the game under Million Dollar Man. I never understood that.
Oh,
and
that's
like one thing I distinctly remember.
Here's what it says in the Wikipedia page: all wrestlers possess a limited amount of moves, which consist of basic standing punches and kicks. Headbutts, a running attack, a move off the turnbuckle, which Andre the Giant and Bam Bam Bigelow cannot perform, a body slam, which Bam Bam Bigelow and Honky Tonk Man cannot perform. All wrestlers also possess a, quote, back attack that they can use on an opponent standing behind them, usually a backwards punch. The moves themselves are somewhat tailored to each wrestler. I didn't notice that
at
all.
They're all the same.
Yeah. It's also worth noting that only Hulk Hogan is able to body slam the massive Andre the Giant. I still couldn't figure out how to body slam. I couldn't figure out how to pin people for like the first three or four matches. I would just like get their health all the way down. They would like fall down, and then I would just hit buttons until eventually I just fell on top of them.
There's only two buttons on the controller. How hard
I know. Be? Like I'm sitting, I'm hitting down. I hit A. I'm hitting down in A. I'm hitting down in B. I'm like, what do I do? I don't know what to do.
I find it interesting that I'm assuming they were trying to be realistic by not having Andre and Bam Bam. Although Bam Bam did top rope stuff a lot in real life. But what's interesting is like, the new game for the 2K19 game that just came out in October, whatever it was, September, Andre could do everything in that top rope stuff. He could, I've seen him in the game jump from in the ring up and over the rope onto the floor. Like, where's the realism? Jesus.
And I don't know that like this just felt like when I was playing this, I had this scenario in my head of like, picture, like, this game came out in January of 89, all right? Now, picture it's the Christmas holidays of 1988, and they're at the Acclaim offices, and, you know, they're, like, sitting in there, they're having their, like, weekly meeting, and they're like, all right, guys, we're about to go on, we're going to have our New Year's Eve party later on tonight, but just wanted to let you guys know before we shut down for the day, we did get the WWF license, so good job, everyone. Yay. And everybody in the office is like, yay. Like, and they're like, oh, so Bill, you in the back there, Bill, I think you'd be perfect to take on this. And he's like, oh, he's like, yeah, great. He's like, I haven't been here that long. This is great. Like, yeah, you've done some fine work. We know you're new here, and we really want you to head up this production of this game. So we're going to give it to you. And he's like, great. So what's the release date? Is it like, you know, a year or two, 18 months, 12 months? And they're like, next Friday. We need to have it by next Friday. We're going to need you to work over the weekend. And sorry you can't have New Year's Day off. But this needs to be out by next Friday. And not just out, but like on store shelves by next Friday. So if you could just get that done over the weekend, that'd be great.
Yeah, I need you to come in on Saturday. That'd be great.
That's what it felt like to me. Like this game was thrown together in a weekend.
I'm also gonna need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday too.
Okay.
Just so you know, we're starting at the regular time. It's not a half day or anything like that.
But honestly, I don't really have much to say about this game because there's not much to it. I mean, I would rather play Fester's Quest than play this game because at least Fester's Quest has a story to it.
I never played that game, but I have it complete in box.
Oh, it's awful.
I don't even know where I got it from.
You should go back and listen to our episode on Fester's Quest because I was actually coming down with the flu the night we recorded that episode, and I hated that game anyway. So I was running a fever, and I think I went into like some sort of fit and just like... really let that game have it.
I have not laughed that hard since on this podcast. I remember you texted me the next day and you're like, I feel so awful right now.
Yeah. I remember I was running a fever. Oh, it was awful. Not much more to say about this game. It says players can either play a single exhibition match or a tournament. In a single-player tournament, the player chooses one wrestler must defeat the other five in a series of matches to win the championship. In a tournament with two or more player-controlled wrestlers, up to six can play. Each wrestler faces every other wrestler once. I don't remember seeing a tournament mode on this thing.
That sounds kind of cool, though, if you got five buddies that are all, you know, sharing two controllers.
Yeah, I would have played a tournament mode and, like, gone through each wrestler, but I didn't see a tournament mode.
I don't remember that either. I remember the little power-up icons would bounce along the screen and you had to grab them. And
yeah, that's what I was telling Derek a little while ago. It was like each wrestler has their each one. Like Honky Tonk Man has like a little guitar. That bounces. Yep. And like
Bam Bam's Hulk Hogan. Got the flame.
Yeah, the little flame that goes across
the screen.
What did
Hogan have? Like a crucifix.
Yeah, it's a cross. Okay. So those really don't do much except like, you know, So they boost up your health meter, I think. But that's it for this game. There is not much to talk about for it. That's why I was scared to do it last week.
It was not very good. I mean, I loved it when I was 11.
I played it for one night last week. And I played it one night, like I played one match, and then I said I would review it. And then I played it again, and I played like three matches. And I was like, I can't play this anymore.
That's how long it took you to play in the first place. Well, you were here like 6 months ago now.
Yeah. Like, it's awful. Like, it's so bad. And I can't believe Rare developed this game. That's like...
That's the shocking thing to me.
I know. Like, it's crazy.
I can't name another game that Rare made. I don't even recognize the name.
Oh.
They were mostly prevalent in like the... mid to late 90s. They did the Donkey Kong Country series for Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
They did Banjo-Kazooie and Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah, the Perfect Dark.
Why don't I know that? I was never a big Donkey Kong guy, but Banjo-Kazooie was good. You know why I don't like Donkey Kong? I don't want to get off subject here, but when I was in like third or fourth grade, my parents bought me Donkey Kong Jr. Math. And I was so offended that they thought I was stupid.
Wow.
That I never played it. I was like, I'm never playing another Donkey Kong game again. And then when that convention I went to the other day, Jay, that I was sending you pictures of,
yeah.
Angela found Donkey Kong Jr. Math on some guy's table, and she didn't know the story yet, I don't think. Because she pointed out, she's like, I never heard of this. I'm like, God, don't worry about it. You're not missing anything. And all those memories came flooding back. Like, my parents thought I was stupid, man. They bought me a stupid... They thought it would help me learn.
I remember playing a bunch of educational games on my Commodore 64. I used to have, like, Hangman and all that kind of stuff. And then, like, something like Snoopy's Red Baron. Like, Adventures it was some kind Baron. Of a math game, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
They did some Mario games, too, for Super Nintendo. I think they did, like, Mario is Missing, where you had to go around the country... and they had like a time machine game too that I never played.
You should review that, Derek.
Mario is Missing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I never played that until a couple of months ago. Like my fiance said she played it back in the day, but I only got it like because it was part of like an emulator. I mean, it was part of a pack of games I acquired. And I thought it was a hack. I didn't know it was a real game.
Weird.
Because there was other stuff in that same pack of games, like Midget Mario and Wheelchair Mario. Whoa. So I thought this was like, I thought they were all just hacked games. And then I found out that was an actual title.
Wow.
I don't remember that at all.
I did say something cool here. It says, a scene in the 2008 film The Wrestler features a fictional NES game entitled Wrestle Jam 88. The fully functioning demo features a style inspired by WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's the same graphics and everything, except it's Randy the Ram, and I don't even remember who the opponent was, but it's just him playing as himself when he's all broken down living in a trailer park.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have to say that the music for the game is actually kind of decent.
It was just every guy's theme song, though. It's not like they had any actual, like, they didn't put any effort into the sound at all. It was just
kind of,
hey, this guy, let's put this guy in the game, and we'll just use his music.
I wonder why they
loops
only...
too. It loops during every match.
Why did they only have six wrestlers too? Like,
I don't know, the memory limitations of the system, maybe
I don't know,
or of the cartridge itself.
But it's just such a like. I would have thought this would have been made by like LJN or something.
Yeah, I think LJN made a couple of others. Yeah, I don't know if I remember correctly.
But yeah, this was not a good game. It was not fun to play. And now I know why they only cost like $2 at the retro store. But it's a nice copy, though.
That's $2 more than you gave me for it.
It's a nice copy, though, that I got from you. I mean, it looks nice on the shelf, but I don't think I'm going to be pulling this one down.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be pulling this one down to pop in the old NES anytime soon again.
I may have to play this tonight. I may have to stream this tonight.
Dude, you have to. Please.
It's been so long since I've played it.
But yeah, I think on a scale of 1 to 10, this is probably going to scrape by with a 3.
Oof, God, that's being generous.
Yeah, I didn't want to be too harsh on it because I was such a wrestling fan. Like at that time when this game came out, that was like my pinnacle of my love for wrestling. Like, everything was Nintendo or wrestling. Like, that was my life.
I think I loved it so much because back then is that time specifically is when they were doing the Macho Man Hogan thing that, like, they did from WrestleMania 4 to 5. So yeah, 5 was the only
Mega Powers.
5 was April 2nd, 89. So it was 3 months after this game came out. So, and that was my favorite WrestleMania of all time to this day. So I'm assuming that's why I liked it so much and played it so much, but it's not really any good. I probably didn't play it again after WrestleMania 5 was over.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to play some of the other WWF games for the NES, but now I'm kind of scared too.
there was some kind of like steel cage something or other that was kind of cool. That might have been for Super though. I don't know. Rage in the Cage was it called, or Steel Cage Challenge or something like that? I don't remember. But that was kind of cool. But anything after this is just light years ahead of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this was one of the first, you know. I mean, they did have other wrestling games that were better for the NES. And there was one that was really good that came out way before this one. And I for some reason, I can't remember it right offhand.
Might have just been wrestling. Good was the WCW game was good because it talked and it had like 20 guys in it or 18 guys or something like that.
Oh, which one was that?
WCW, World Championship Wrestling. Yeah. That's all it's called.
Okay.
And then there was...
I don't know when that came out, though. That might have been after this.
There was the Black Box... Nintendo Black Box Pro Wrestling that was really good.
I never heard of that.
One of the original Black Box
games. Oh, the original.
Games.
Yeah. I still love that game.
That game's great.
Yeah. Starman.
Yeah. That's who I always played was Starman.
Yep. I always wanted to learn how to do that like backwards flipping kick thing, and I can't even do a backflip, so I never even tried.
Oh man, I love playing wrestling games, but this is not going to be on that list of wrestling games I like to play. And I don't know why I never played this game. I was so into wrestling. Like, this would have been like easily something I would have asked for like Christmas or something. But
did you ever play WWF Micro League Wrestling?
I never played that.
That game was terrible, but great.
This was more of a simulation. Yeah, this was...
Yeah, Micro League was a sim, yeah.
Yeah, this came out for the Commodore 64, the Amiga, and for DOS. And it's actually got...
Yeah, I've never heard of this game.
Hulk Hogan on the cover. Yep, there it is.
It looks like this.
He's got it. Wow.
It was a simulation for I think it was for Commodore 64.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was the Commodore 64.
I don't even remember. Oh yeah, it says it right on the front.
Yeah.
And color TV required. Wow. A little sticker. Yeah. But that's this awesome. This game was like I don't know, it's so hard to describe. Like, there was like the main disc, which was here. And then, like, you flip it over, and there was one match, and then you could buy add-on matches. There was only, like, 4 matches you could play. It was, like, Hogan, Macho Man, like, Hogan, Paul Orndorff, and, like, I don't know. I don't even remember the other ones. But you had to, like, buy the other matches, which was kind of silly.
That's weird.
They were, like, it wasn't even, like, whatever you call the DLC was, whatever DLC was called back then.
Like, add-ons, yeah, it says featured Hulk Hogan versus Randy Macho Man Savage on one side and Hulk Hogan versus Paul Orndorff on the other.
Yeah.
2 expansion discs were released known as the Superstar Series. The first of these featured Randy Savage versus Honky Tonk Man, Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Harley Race. And the second disc features Hulk Hogan versus Million Dollar Man and Jake the Snake Roberts versus Ravishing Rick Rude.
God, I gotta find those.
You know what's crazy? I watched a video not too long ago of when Rick Rude broke his neck in Japan. That was a rough video to watch.
Did you ever see when Sid Vicious broke his leg?
Oh, I watched that live. That was awful.
Really? Oh my God. That's horrible.
I wish you wouldn't have reminded me of that. That makes me hurt thinking about it.
So you saw it. Yeah. What about, have you ever seen... I think his name is Rod Price. He worked for ECW, but he did the same thing Sid tried to do and had the same result. And the funny, you know what the funny thing is about that is that I don't know if you guys know who Sandman is or was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Sandman always carried the kendo stick, the cane to the ring. And when Rod Price did the leg thing, and you know, same thing as Sid broke his leg or whatever, and he was laying there, and Sandman thought it was part of the show. So he just ran to the ring and whacked the shit out of him, whacked the crap out of him with his cane. as if he was selling.
Quote unquote. Poor guy.
Oh, man.
I think it's hilarious now. So I've been hit with kendo sticks many times, and they don't feel good. So I can just imagine this guy's laying there with his leg in literal pieces, getting whacked in the head with the cane, because the other guy thinks it's just part of the show.
Oh, that makes man. Me hurt. Oh, man. So I could never be a wrestler. I couldn't have done what you did, Joey. I probably would have broken every bone in my body.
You know what I find interesting about this game is that it says multiple times no VCR required. Kind of a weird, like, I don't know if you can see it, but it's at the bottom there in red. Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't understand. And it says for Commodore 64 right above it. So why would I need a VCR?
I still understand. Like the whole color TV required sticker.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. I love that.
Oh, that's
there's
awesome.
Got to be YouTube videos of this game. It's horrible, but it's so good. Like, there's a list of moves, and you just pick one. And then it's basically turn-based.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think you can even do two in a row. Like, you pick one, and then, like, the other guy picks one. And it was only single player. Oh, no, actually, it says for two players. I don't remember that, though. It's just terrible. There has to be YouTube videos of it, I'm sure.
You should get an emulator for that and stream that.
I was just thinking that I have an RCA, like the red, yellow, and white, to HDMI hookup. Maybe I can just get a Commodore 64 and stream it.
Yeah.
On an actual system.
I think I still have the Commodore 64.
I'm sure there's Commodore 64 emulators somewhere. I've never actually looked for one. I would love to get another one. Of course, this is the only game I would have, but still.
But we're coming up on the end of the show. I got one little thing to talk here about listener email, so let me play a little bit of music.
You want me to hop
on? No, you're good. You can stay till the end.
Okay.
This is from Brandon Rutledge, who is a Facebook regular. He says, I have a suggestion for a Christmas special. Review Die Hard, both the movie and the NES game. I'd be down for that.
Yes.
PlayStation Classic is a hit or miss for me. I agree that it will not sell well as the NES or SNES Classic, both of which I still want and are in stock at my local Walmart. I still have my copy of SimCity, which we reviewed last week, and will probably play it after my night class tonight. As a kid, I did not fully comprehend the concept of the game until my brother showed me years later. Using disasters to destroy the city was always fun, though I should probably see a therapist for enjoying it so much. I know more people talk about Pilot Wings, but I have many more memories with SimCity. I don't think that you need therapy for that. I think that's a sort of more of a cathartic thing to just build your city and then just destroy it. Like, that's the fun in those games.
Yeah, you destroy it and you just build a new one.
Oh, yeah. It's great. That's why I love those games so much.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go ahead and get out of here. So, Joey, thank you for joining us to talk about WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for having me on for a couple minutes, man.
Well, tell everybody where they can find you at on the internets.
I just found a complete walkthrough of Micro League Wrestling.
Really?
Or playthrough. It's only 16 minutes long.
Wow.
Where can I find me? Twitter at Joey Image, Facebook real/real, whatever it is. Facebook Joey Image, twitch.tv/Joey Image, and I don't know, my new gig every Monday night. I am the new third mic on the Conti and Kenny show, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., morelikeradio.com.
Awesome. What about you, Jay?
I shouldn't say new third mic. That sounds like I replaced somebody. There's never been a third mic. I am the third mic now.
I still got to check that show out. I haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah, check out the podcast version, which comes out, I think, on Wednesdays or Thursdays of last night's show, where we interviewed Casey Armstrong of the Howard Stern Show.
Awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's a really good dude. He's got a new book coming out, and I don't know, we had a really good conversation for an hour.
I'm going to listen to that tomorrow. Well, what about
that's
you,
Derek? Fantastic.
Anything you want to throw out there before we get out of here tonight?
No, just if you want to follow the development of my upcoming short film that I'll be shooting next month, just go find it at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Parker Syndrome.
Sweet. Well, let me go ahead and play our music here. If you would like to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We are at nerdcaveretro.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro and individually at jfunktastic and at Derek_Diamond. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro. And we are on Patreon at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And if you don't have a couple of bucks to throw us every month, then go leave us a review. That helps us out just as much, whether it's on iTunes or Overcast or wherever you listen to us. Go leave us a review. So, Derek, please tell everyone what it's all about.
Ooh, yeah. Dig it.
You blow it!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.